Ephesians 1 verse 15. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What's happening here? So Paul is writing to the Ephesian church and is telling them, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. I heard of your love that you have to the saints of God. Then I was sure you were born again. Are you with me? He says, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love you have for the saints, it was proof that you are born again. You know, let me tell you something. One sign that you are born again is that you will love to be with other born again people. Are you with me? Have you discovered people who smoke weed and all these things? When they go to a new community, give them 1 week, they connect to themselves. Like begets like. You will find out, how did this person know that the fellow Igbo smokers are around? Then they say, ganja, afana. So you know you know the brotherhood, Abi. Because they have the same feather, they flock together. Are you with me? But when you are born again, you are looking for born again people too. I remember one time I was coming from, I think I had to travel. I think I was going from Lagos to Port Harcourt. This period, this August, there were many travels. So I was praying. The flight was for 7:30 a.m. So I had to pray during the devotion. I was praying with our normal devotion, 6 a.m. And by 6, I was already waiting for my boat to carry me to the airport. I entered the car. I saw him in Makapalaka Barata. My God, I just joined him. I said, Liba Rabashata. We looked at ourselves. We don't know before. Oh. We looked at ourselves and said, okay, we are together, B. Praise the Lord. And we prayed in tongues till the airport. Kapara Kapalata. Yes, it's done. Jabrata. Not the one that you enter the car, the guy is being when the bell do the enter body. I say, my guy, which bedu is that? The name of Jesus, will you take the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. So Paul says, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love you have unto all the saints, I was sure that you are born again. And the next thing I began to do was I began to pray for you. Now, we need to look at the content of Paul's prayer because he's trying to show us what you can call order of priority. After you have been born again, what was most important to the early apostles? He says, I cease not to give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You know what? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Stop there. Glory. Paul is saying this prayer point, I did not stop. I was praying for you. He says, you can look at verse 16. He says, I did not stop. I cease not to do things for you, making mention of this thing in my prayers. I was praying about it. It's not something I prayed about once and stopped. I prayed about it 2 times, 3 times, 10 times, 100 times. That God will give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ by the Spirit. Are you with me? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What does it mean by the hope of his calling? What is the point of Christianity? That you will understand it by revelation. And then, that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened to see the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. That means, according to this verse, the riches of the glory of God's inheritance is where? In the saints. Let me take it again. The riches of the glory of God's inheritance, where is it? Glory.
I'm not sure. I know some of you, when we say all these things, you're wondering, why are they shouting glory? Very soon you will understand. Are you with me? You know, people who do Bitcoin. Somebody can look at his Bitcoin wallet and see, I don't know, give me a very high figure. Is it Ethereum or something? Give me a high figure in Bitcoin or 5 million Bitcoin. Somebody said, longer throat. just assume someone has, let's just say, 200,000. That's a lot. Okay, let's say 5. Okay, you see this now? Now, the people who know Bitcoin know that 5 is a lot. That if you have 10 Bitcoins, what somebody else... No, so now, if you tell somebody who doesn't know anything about Bitcoins or Ethereum or all of those stuff like me, you say, I've given you 10 Bitcoins. I'm like, okay. Is that 10 naira? You see, until I have a revelation of what is in my account, I will not be able to shout glory. Are you with me? The people that take Christianity serious and rejoice about what Christ have done, it is because they have an understanding into what has been deposited in them. Are you with me? So they are telling you, you have 10 Bitcoins, and you're like, okay. Sir, please, if you give me 2K, urgent 2K. I said I gave you 10 Bitcoins. Why are you asking for 2K? Guess what? Do you know that God feels the same way? When he tells you the riches of the glory of Christ's inheritance is in the saints, and then wake up every morning saying, look at my life. Helpless me. What will my life become? When God is saying he has given you the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, you still wake up and tell yourself, nobody's coming to save me, whereas you are a savior. Are you with me? See, listen well to this teaching. Are you with me? In fact, this journey we are beginning. So Paul is praying that they will understand it, that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Now look at Colossians 1 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, so since the day he heard that the saints in Colossae now were born again, we do not cease to pray for you. The same thing. This one is more clearer. That's why I brought it after. We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Say after me, I will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, glory. Now look at the consequence of this. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Can you read this verse together? 1, 2, 3, go. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. What does it mean that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? It means that when the knowledge of Christ, wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Christ comes to you, a time will come, it will be obvious that you have a relationship with God. It will be obvious that you are walking with God. You will walk worthy of the Lord. They will look at you and say, it is true, this guy knows God. It is true, this guy is walking with God. Are you following me? It is true that the hand of God is upon you. But when you are lacking wisdom and spiritual understanding and the knowledge of Christ, many times, I thought he did pray. I thought he goes to church. I thought he's serious with the word of God. Why is his life like this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? I like that other phrase. It says, being fruitful in every good work. Say after me, I am fruitful in every good work. Oh, some of you are not talking. Say, I am fruitful in every good work. Amen. So today, we are beginning a teaching series which we have titled, Sit, Walk, stand. Say after me, sit. Say after me, walk. And stand. The core of the Christian life can be summarized in these three words. Let me tell you something here. One of my biggest passions as a Christian minister is, I always ask myself, when will Christians really understand what Christ did? When will Christians really live in the results of what Christ did? When will it happen? And every time I prayed about it and got worried about it, God made me know they can live in it now. You can actually live in the, see, in the work that Christ has done now. When you study the Bible, you will discover the saints of old, people in the Old Testament, they were paid to be in this dispensation. Are you getting me? Well, let me move on. And so, teaching series, what we are trying to do is, we are trying to bring this ministry into what you can call greater revelation. Say after me, greater revelation. So you'll be hearing me say some things that you may not have heard exactly like that before. It is called greater revelation. For instance, when you are in primary school and they say 5 minus 3, what is the answer? 2. Then you say 3 minus 5, what's the answer? It cannot. Who remembers that? 3 minus 5, it cannot. But when you go to secondary school and they say 3 minus 5, they say minus 2. And you're like, from where? They say there is something called number line. Are you getting me? There is more revelation. And the higher you go in your walk with God, you need more revelation to see things the way God sees them. You know, years ago, I was studying the Bible. And I was asking myself, why did God tell Lot and his wife, who knows that story, that as you are leaving the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't look back? Why? What's the big deal about looking back? I was studying it. Especially because that same Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham stood up the next morning and looked at the place. So it was not really about looking at the place. It was about who was looking at the place. Ah, my God. There is a level in your walk with God. The very thing other people saying is too difficult. Somebody else with higher revelation and a higher place in God, will look at it and nothing will happen. He will face the same challenge, and it will be as though it's nothing. This same economy. Now, some people are like, I want to die. This economy wants to kill me. Somebody else is like, I'm more than a conqueror. I need you to say after me, I'm more than a conqueror. The very same things that some people will look at and turn to a pillar of salt, other people will be discussing with God about it. We are trying to bring you into a higher place in God, a higher place of revelation, a higher place of fellowship, a higher place of dominion. Amen. So, one book of the Bible that really captures this emphasis of sit, walk, stand is the book of Ephesians. Because you see, you can summarize our Christian experience into these three words. Everything we are doing in our walk with God, you can summarize it in these three words: sit, walk, and stand. The book of Ephesians captures this emphasis properly. And like many of the epistles of Paul, the epistles are divided into two sections. There is a doctrinal section and there is a practical section. Are you with me? A doctrinal section and a practical section, where the doctrinal side tells you about what Christ has done, the great facts of redemption, all that God has done in Christ, it will tell you in the doctrinal side. But the practical side begins to talk about how does those things apply in our daily life. Are you with me? What is the consequence of those things upon our life? How does that affect you? How does that affect the way you deal with people, the way you deal with circumstances? And even much more, we see in the book of Ephesians, it doesn't stop there. He goes further to talk about the way you deal with the devil. How do you handle conflict with the devil? So, seat. When we say seat, it reveals our position in Christ. After me, our position in Christ. So you can put in brackets if you are writing. From Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1 to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21 is talking about what has been done for us in Christ. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. It's talking about us and Jesus. 1, 2, 3, go. They read 1, 2, 3, go. Us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Has it sit together with Christ in heavenly places? What is the impact of that? What does that mean? That is all under what we call seat. Now, there's also something we've called walk. And walk reveals our life in this world. Now, you can put in brackets Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 to Ephesians 6 verse 9. You know what I'm doing? This is what church is for. To feed you the word of God. Where you open the Bible, you understand the Bible. Are you with me? And the Bible begins to affect your life. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation you have been called. Do you see that phrase again? Walk worthy of the vocation. If you connect it to the things we read earlier, that you walk worthy of the vocation. There is something you have come into as a child of God. When you get born again, you've come into a different kind of vocation. You have to walk. And then the last phase is stand. It reveals our attitude towards the enemy. Our attitude towards the conflict of darkness we have in this world. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, there is conflict. Oh, there is conflict. Somebody say, oh, they like casting out demons. The demons that people cast out is only in Africa. Don't worry. You will discover that they are white demons. In my little exposure, let me tell you what I found out. The demons in those places are more advanced. Oh my God. When demons are speaking Queen's English, leave it. Ephesians 6 verse 11. Ephesians 6 11. It says that you may be able to do what? Stand! Are you seeing this? So if you check the first verse we read, there was seat there. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. The second one, Ephesians 4 verse 1. It says, walk worthy of the vocation. And then, it says in Ephesians 6 verse 11, it says, put every service, midweek, Sunday, try and be here. If you cannot be here, follow online. Are you with me? Not that following online, that as you're following online, you're watching one movie one side. You watch the movie after. Keep it. Follow. Receive. Let it enter you. Are you with me? However, there is something you must first get. For you to really appreciate and embrace entire reality of our sitting in Christ, our walking in Christ, and our standing in Christ, there's something you must get. It's called the concept of present truth. Say after me, present truth. Say it again, present truth. So, what we are trying to say by present truth is that our sitting in Christ, our walking, and our standing in Christ is because we are living in the present reality of what Christ has done. So after me, the believer lives in the present reality of what Christ has done. Say after me, I live in the present reality of what Christ has done. Amen. Present truth. The present reality of what Christ has done. It can also be called the finished works of Christ. The finished works of Christ. Understand the things that are present realities. Present truths. Are you getting me? You need to understand the things that are present truths and the things that were true. Are you with me? Because of the death the burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, there are things that has changed. There are things that we now have now. Are you with me? For instance, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 says that is the hand of God shortened that he cannot hear us? Or is his ear dull? He says, or is his ear dull that he cannot hear our prayers? Okay, look at this. He says, behold, everybody read with me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Oh my God. And your sins have hid his face from you. Hey! That you will not hear. Now imagine you are a Christian and you open your Bible and you read this as your morning devotion. You say, Kai, my iniquities have separated me from God. It is because of my sins. That's why God cannot hear my prayer. Are you following me? And is it the Bible? Wait, answer me. Is it the Bible? Well, you see, that was true. That is no longer true. No, your iniquities cannot separate you from him right now. No, no, no. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you understand? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Christ has done something about the sin that separated you from him. Are you with me? Should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, do you notice the tenses? There is something called present tense, past tense, present continuous tense. You are seeing that he's talking about your healing in the past. That means you are not going to be healed. You were healed. He was looking at it. Now, wait. By his stripes, yea, we are healed. I was healed, but I'm sick in my body. That's the point. It is what has been done that will be able to be done. Oh, you need to understand the way the Spirit led me. So this thing here is not even just because I'm trying to explain a deep revelation to you. This is the way the Spirit led me. It is only what has been done that can be done. Years ago, I went for a deliverance. I was praying for a lady. Prayed for her, and she was free, and she was confessing something to me. She said, one of her brothers was killed in the village, and the people that killed him, so the family came together to pray, and people that killed him came out to confess. They came out to confess that the prayer that the family was doing was so much that fire began to burn them. So about 3-4 of them, they came out. That they went to a native doctor during Christmas and they killed him on the 25th of December. But he died on the 12th of January. So, they were like, what do you mean? They said, ah, he actually died December 25th. But it is because he had been killed, he was killed. Have you ever seen that verse in the book of Psalms that says, oh God, unto thee belongeth the issues from the dead. Deliver those that are appointed to die. Because in the realm of the spirit, before somebody dies physically, he must have died spiritually first. Satan must have orchestrated an appointment in the spirit. It must be done. So what happens is, when God sees that something like that has happened, he will raise up a prophet that will cut it. Just before the appointment date, appointment is canceled. Right now, every negative appointment over your life, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. Matthew 8 verse 17. Let me show you something. Matthew 8 verse 17. Hey, my God. Look at verse 15 to verse 17. It says, when the even was come, they brought unto him all those that were sick, and he healed them all, that it might be fulfilled. Verse 16 to verse 17. Say after me, I'm blessed. Verse 16, it says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took, not he will take. Himself did what? Took. That is present truth. As at this time, Christ has not died though.
Oh my God.
That's to tell you how forward in God's mind I have done this thing. Oh yeah, do it fast. Do it fast. Himself took our infirmities. Everyone under sickness right now, it has been taken away from you. Himself took. That means if I come now, and take it from you. Is it with you?
No.
No. Is this thing with you? Because I took it from you, right? Damn lie. The affliction is a lie. It has been taken away from you. Do you understand me? Until you accept this and begin to declare it and stand on it, you will not see the reality in your life. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Present truth. Present truth. Say after me, present truth. I can go on and on. You know, in the Old Testament, when they were going for battles and they wanted to win at war, maybe they had a strong battle with the Philistines, or with the Amorites, or the Amalekites, what did they normally do? They would bring the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So when the Ark came, there were some times that the Ark will come and the people will start shouting. They will start rejoicing, glory! Because the presence of God has come. That was past truth. That you need to go and carry an Ark to bring the presence. Right now, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right now, you are the mobile temple. Right now, you are the mobile ark. How can you be the mobile ark, the mobile temple, and you are still scared of your enemies? This is called present truth. Right now, the presence that they have to carry in the ark to the battlefield, right now, you are carrying that temple everywhere. You are carrying that presence everywhere. Whenever you meet the devil, you remind yourself, I am the presence, carrying the presence of God. I carry the presence of God. These are the things you need to know. The witches, and because of what my father did, all of us, we are like this, we are like that, we are like this. Let me show you something. Say after me, I walk in the reality of the present truth. Ezekiel chapter 18. He says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel? Now, you need to understand how heavy this is. This is way back in Ezekiel. God is telling Ezekiel that, why do you people still use this proverb in the land of Israel? Saying, the fathers have eaten soured grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Verse 3. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Hey, God abolished it. Let me tell you something. The more I study this thing called generational curses, I have more reason to reject it. Yes, someone said Nigeria is the way it is because generational curse is a lie. It's because of bad leadership. It's not generational curse. They say, our fathers did this. They served idols. Okay, what about the white people that did slave trade? Killing people, genocide. Packed. Oh my God. They say, oh, we are from the descendants of the Canaanites. That is why that Canaan was the one that saw the nakedness of Noah. Well, are you Canaanite? You are not Canaanite. The Canaanites were cursed. That's why their land were taken from them. That's why God told them, you will take the land of the Canaanites. You are not cursed. Say it, I'm not cursed. Say, Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor, the way it happened to my great-grandmother. It's happened to my grandmother. It's happening to my mother. That's why it's a lie. You need to understand. Devil wants you to believe the lie as the truth. Do you understand that? Until you believe the truth and enforce it, you will not see it quickly. So why are people not seeing these things? Let me show you. Why are people not living in the reality of the present truth? Let me show you some things. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Thank you, Lord. It says, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Some of you are wondering, what is the pastor trying to read? Let me explain. This is Apostle Peter's admonition to the saints. He says, it will be negligence on my part not to put you always in remembrance of these things. I know you know them. Are you with me? He says, I know you know it, but I will put you in remembrance of these things until you are established in what? In the present truth. He says, I know you know it, but I will repeat it again. I will repeat it again. See, this thing is so rampant in scripture. Until if it's not, even if you want to be careless, you will see it. But most times, if it's not shown to you, you will not see it. Let me show you one. If you study the teachings of Jesus, the way he preached faith is not the way we are to preach faith now. There's a slight difference. It's not obvious, but it's slight. There was a way he preached faith. Oh my God. Listen to this. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall hear thee. If you have faith, because many of them did not have faith. Oh my God. Most of them got faith when they saw what he did and believed in his miracle working power. But the faith of God in their spirit, he told them, if you have this faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say. If. Why is there an if condition? Because many did not have it. But right now, the child of God that has received Jesus Christ after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, right now, Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, he has given unto us the measure of faith. Oh my God. That if you have faith is no longer for us because we have it. The child of God today is not more faithless. Oh my God. You are no longer faithless. All this one, my faith is too small. A small mustard seed can move mountain. Oh my God. They say, my faith is so small. That small faith you have can move a mountain. Let me explain something to you. Listen, how did the born again child of God get faith? He received the gospel. He heard the word of God about Jesus Christ and believed it. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you hear that gospel, it imparts faith to your spirit. That is the faith that got you saved. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, if salvation is the biggest thing on God's mind, salvation is the biggest miracle, salvation is the biggest transformation, if the faith that came by the gospel gave you salvation, what is too big for your faith? What is too big? Are you with me?
Hey!
The faith that gave you salvation can give you anything. Oh my God. Say after me, I am not faithless. I am not faithless. The impossible is possible in my life. I'm trying to bring you into a higher place of revelation. You know, there's some of you that hear me say something, you're like, Pastor, why do you talk like this? What if you just look at us and say, soon you'll be signing 1 billion naira, we'll buy this very soon. Don't worry. You know the place is hot, but some of you, your accountants will send 1 billion. I thought you say amen. Yeah. Like, Pastor, why are you talking like this? The same God that created the world says he lives inside of me. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. Is that God is true or we are joking? Are you with me? Until you get to the point where your Christianity begins to stand on the integrity of the word of God and stand with what he has said, you won't see many things. I have proved this thing for 20 years. I'm telling you. I have proved it for the past 20 years. I say it with all sense of humility. The problem is that many Christians don't stay long enough. In fact, let me show you what the problem is. They don't stay long enough with it for it to affect their life when it's time. James chapter 1. Say after me, I'm blessed. Oh, my Jesus. 2002. Thank God I came from a lineage of faith. My mom, too. She's also a person of faith. She had an accident and died. And she died in the accident. They took her to the mortuary. And then, you know, when a person dies, sometimes there may be some nerve movements that show that the person is still alive. And sometimes she will raise her leg, people in the mortuary, and the mortician came and like, let's put chemical on this woman. It's like her nerves are still. In trying to put the chemical, he discovered that the woman is still alive. And guess what she was saying? I have a covenant of life and peace. I cannot die. I have a covenant of life and peace. I cannot die. I have a covenant of life and peace. I cannot die. See. There is a way you will meditate on something so much. I have seen people who were supposed to die. They died. They saw themselves going. An angel tell them, you have declared life too much. You cannot die now. There is a way you will declare prosperity. That's why some of you hear me say, I cannot be stranded. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. And it will start by knowing what Christ has said, what Christ has done, what has become yours, and staying with it. James chapter 1. James 1. The problem why people don't live in present truth is because they forget. They forget what Christ has done. When they face a challenge, the first thing they do is, hey, Wele, I don't die, yo. Before they say, hey, God, you help me. God, you help me. You have worshiped Satan first. James chapter 1. He says, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you read this verse, please, am I teaching you the word of God? Are you with me? He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you read this verse and you stop here, you will think what the Bible is saying is, be ye doers of the word. Okay, if the Bible says I should give, so I will carry something and give. Is that good? Yes. But there is a context in which he's saying this, be ye doers. Attention. Everybody read with me slowly. 1, 2, 3, go. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, beholding his face in a mirror, right? Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, number one, what does it mean to do the word? It means do not forget it. The doing of the word in this context is not forgetting it. He says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. So, what does it mean to be a doer? Don't forget. Ah, my God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, this analogy is also very deep. From the Apostle James, very deep. He's saying that whoso looketh, if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a natural man that beholds his face in a glass. He beholds himself, goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. It means that the Bible, natural mirror, and see your natural face. You can look at the mirror of the word of God and see your supernatural identity. And when you see that identity, you make up your mind that you will not forget it. Are you getting this? When you keep the identity of who you are that you've seen from the mirror of the word of God, he says that's what will change you. Many people forget. When you read a verse like 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. When you read that kind of verse, it says, 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does that mean? Ye are of God. You think you hear from Umaya? You are of God. Meaning that is your, if we want to trace your real origin, ye are of God, little children. And not that you will overcome. You have overcome. I have overcome. For instance, when I sit alone, you know, when I was in Port Harcourt, I was finding out about the service in Abuja. They said our pastor church was hot. Church was hot. Pastor, we need ACs. By the time we put budget is running into millions. You check the account, you don't even have 10 million. But what you need is 100 million. I don't go, hey, God now. God. No, I have overcome. The word says I have already overcome. It's not what will happen. It's what has happened. When I insist on what has happened, then what has happened will happen. Yes, are you with me? Yes, yeah, of God. Maybe in the office. It's looking like they will threaten you and something will happen. You will lose your job. Lose the job. You are of God. You cannot be stranded. A better, bigger, greater one is coming. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It means I will never be able to face something that is bigger than what is in me. Hey, God. All those, you will never say again, I'm overwhelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. No, 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 I cannot be overwhelmed. I can never be overwhelmed. Are you with me? I will never be able to face something that is bigger than what is in me. Learn it though. Learn it now. Jump on your feet. Say after me, I live in the reality of the present truth. Say after me, Heavenly Father. Raise your hands and say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the work of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I believe in the work of Jesus Christ. By his death, by his burial, by his resurrection, by his ascension, my state has been changed. My life has been changed. His reality is now my reality. Hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, God. Oh, my God. When you see 2 Peter chapter 1 that says, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. By exceeding greater and precious promises, he has given us all things that pertain. He's not saying he will give you. He has given you all things. Oh, that means according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, if he has been given to me, that means I can never be stranded. You will now learn to talk like this: in the name of Jesus, I bring forth prosperity. I bring forth abundance because it has been given. Are you with me? If it has been given, it means inside you. As the only problem is if you are not born again, that's where the problem is. If it has been given, it means it is inside you. Is this not why Paul was saying that he may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Amarakapalia. If it has been given, that means I have it. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I bring forth direction. In the name of Jesus, I bring forth abundance. In the name of Jesus, I am full of glory. I am full of glory. You people are not rejoicing like you just said what I said. You will learn to stay on the word of God. Rejoice in it. Oh, you don't have a job. Wake up in the morning. Wake up in the morning and begin to declare things to yourself. Are you with me? The lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. He performed the things that are for me. And many such things are with him. The Lord is our rock. Through God we shall do valiantly. Has shattered down our enemies before us. Blessed be the Lord God, for he has shown his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Are you seeing the way it's coming out? I am seeing what I live on. Arabata.